Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still loving you. I'm walking down
silence. Welcome to Team of Voices Radio. I'm your host tonight, Raconteur, and tonight is being brought to you by the A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation. I don't know what more I could say except hello. welcome everybody to the show. Welcome. I think we have a couple of callers. I've got Deborah Lee watching the studio for me tonight, so if you knock on the door, she should let you in. We're going to be talking about favorites. Maybe. Yeah. Depends on the mood she's in. We have a peephole installed now, so and we're keeping trying to keep the riffraff out. And that was my favorite intro by none other than Jay Hatter, sung by and performed by Shout Even Shy. You could check them out on allpoetry.com. If you poke around, you should be able to find them fairly easily. I know Hatter's all over the place. I don't know if I've seen Shout around, but like I said, if you take the time to look, she'll soon become a favorite of yours too, probably. if not, Hatter will. And speaking of favorites, I think one of my favorite callers is on the line too.
I think you might be right.
Right? Hey, Mr. Taylor, how are you?
I'm very, very well. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm working towards well.
Well, you know, you can't, you know, well takes some doing. You know, you've got to pass by feeling really shitty to sort of somewhat okay to feeling average to get anywhere near good, you know.
This is a lot of truth. It's a lot of truth.
And then there's a real beauty on the other line. That would be sweet.
Hello. I wasn't going to say I was his favorite, but, you know.
Almost free verse.
Yeah.
Well. I have a I have a follow-up. Very, very salient issue that you just raised there.
Is it your favorite form, AP?
No, it is. It is. I said yesterday in yesterday's show, Sweet teased us all dreadfully because she put a whole heap of rhymes in and some mid part rhymes.
He fixed it for me.
It didn't rhyme for me. And so I said,
he sent it to me and everything.
I would feel a lot better if that was rhyming, you know, it would make me feel a lot better about the world. And so I spent a few moments and adjusted it slightly and did a full rhyming version for Sweet, as you do.
It's very well done.
I'm sure it is. You know, I'm familiar with that itch that you know, when something gets stuck in your brain, it's just like, I have to.
Yeah.
It's one of
things. Yeah, it was sitting there. And so even before I sat and did 30 comments on poems in the foundation contest last night, God help me, I actually sat down and did something fun and turned that poem into a rhyming poem because that's what should have happened, meant to be.
That's not how it wanted to be birthed, but...
This is how a little bit of anal retentive you are, Mr. AP. I'm just saying. Just a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I get that.
It's like, you know, some people are food snobs. It's like, this is the way it has to be, you know? If you're going to bread, you know, you have to do breading station in this manner. You know, it's part of a character, I think, that's ingrained in someone. And if you love that person, that's one of the things you love about them. It's one of their...
I love it.
Yeah.
I just love how this is the way it should have been. This has to be done this way. I love it.
Yeah.
My favorite part was when you laughed sadistically because you knew that little bit of rhyme was going to set them off, and when it did,
it had great internal rhyme, and it was just by a tad, like one syllable off in each line.
but you knew it would set him off, and you got a kick out of it when it did, and I was like, oh, I love the sarcasm, that laugh of yours.
I know. But it really is a great poem.
It is a great poem.
He sent it to me.
It is a great poem. In both versions, it's a great poem.
So a lot to work with in that.
Yeah. Are you going to let him read it, Rack?
Oh, absolutely. The whole open mic thing. I tend not to stop people unless they're doing something that's breaking the rules. It's like someone is compelled to speak. I want to hear exactly whatever it is that they have to say. I really enjoy going down that road because, you know, it's easy to just flip open the internet and go to a page and read a poem as it's written.
Mm.
It's something else entirely to hear someone pontificate about it in their own voice and their own thoughts and what inspired them and, you know, the whole near rhyme thing, because I've actually published poems, one or two, that like, you know, I wanted to use different wording, and, you know, for whatever reason I didn't. And, you know, some people would be like, oh, that would be such a great poem if you just changed this word. I'm like, well, that's why it's got my name and not your name, because if you wrote it, that's how you would have wrote it. And when I did, that's how I did. And it's, I think, one of my favorite things to be able to listen to how you look at something and you see it in a different way than when Sweet Pea looks at it, than when Deb looks at it. And, you know, when you mishmash all three of them, you get something completely different.
Correct.
Not necessarily coherent, but different.
And before you read it, I want to let Adam in.
I thought you had a
PR
for that reason. Adam.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
You can ring Fox. My bell.
You ready for me to write this version? Right?
Yeah, that'd be awesome. If you want to drop the link on the board for everyone to try and follow.
I actually posted the poem. I only sent it this week. So I'm actually posting the whole poem into the chat room. Okay? So This is a poem by Sweet. It's slightly mutilated and edited by me to become a rhyming poem, as it probably should have been originally, with no great title to it. And it rhymes in the first and third lines, and it has internal rhyme, because Sweet did that on one or two verses, in the second line, except it does it now consistently. So it is a double B, A style, 3-line poem, and of course, I've taken the final line out because it was sitting in as a fourth line, which broke the pattern, and so it had to sit out on its own because that's the way it works. Anyway, okay, so
this is a lesson in poetry.
An unnamed poem that rhymes, and it goes a little bit like this. She flew into the shadows of ebony dawn, body heavy of sorrow, full of lament on the morrow, was vitally ripped from flesh, skin, and bone of scorn. She rests her head on the rough edges of the skeleton tree, rooted in the bed of the river Styx, a heinous place never to fix. Neophytes of the dead forget not to scream as they float in misery. Her red eyes follow their empty vessels as they pass by to flee. She hopes they find peace, wishes them well. As they travel to hell, a core and a song to help them calm down, but all is chaos by degree. Bloated bodies pass by her at night. She just wants to be fly in his fame. Then out of this fright, a dark feathered bird full of bright light, stuck in a realm of torture and pain, bound ravens that serve his name. She once met a man alone in the park with her destiny, kind spoke with his heart as a kiss. He asked her, what if? And the raven of the dead said she could be free. And then nevermore would I return to this tree. End poem.
Wow. See, I like the way you do that because, you know, you could look at her version and your version, and they're both, you know, absolutely, you know, poetic form. Yours happens to be a rhyming poem. Hers is free verse, which is, you know, is also poetic. So stop, you know, beating yourself up over that, Sweet. You know, sometimes When I do a poem, I've been told that, because I tend to rhyme a lot myself, and I've been told sometimes that'll take away from the message. So I've got a smattering of free verse out there that I get a little annoyed at because, you know, there's no set form or anything or meter, so mine tends to sound a little conversational or whatever, you know. Judge it however you want, but you know, at the end of the day, you know, people are going to gravitate towards what floats their boat, and you know, they're going to remember what that makes them remember, whether it's the melody of the rhyme and that changes the cadence, or it's the thought and the emotion that the people pulls out differently. You know, you have a way of doing it in that, you know, you can still keep the emotion, so you know, you can make a rhyming poem that works, and you know, doesn't detract from you know, the sadness that you're trying to make because it sounds too flouncy You know, there's still a darkness to the poem. There's still the river Styx and the subject of what you're talking about. You know, it just happens to have the melody of the rhyme to it. And so, you know, it's still the same thought. It's just in a different, I think, degree, in a different way. But it still hits you. And I think that speaks to how that she, you know, chooses her wording and the way that she writes, too.
I like it. I can be taught. I'm teachable.
I can be taught. Oh, my God.
No, I like it. The only thing I would say is that with AP's version, I'm much more wordy, and it's something that I definitely need to work on. And he's not very, very punctual, and I cannot be. So I like that's it. You know, I like AP, you know, very much punctual. But for me, because unfortunately, I am from a part of the South, I have that southern thing. So sometimes your wording doesn't make sense to me because I read you backwards sometimes. I don't know how to explain that any more than I do.
I saw
the empty bell as they passed by to see. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Right.
I mean, I would never write that for myself because
that's the problem sometimes with the rhyming poem. You have to change the wording to fit the rhyme scheme.
And
it's a lot more difficult.
And that's my problem.
Yeah.
Because I'm somebody that comes off with Mama, I done did that, and that never works.
But yes, it does, because the difference is, you know, you have the integrity of what you're trying to say versus the integrity of the rhyme scheme. So you know, both are, you know, goals that you know, could set you on different paths, and you end up with a somewhat different product. So, yeah.
Mm.
You know,
no,
I
love
probably,
the safety.
it is a gorgeous. It is. You do a good job, you know. You definitely do her words justice.
Yes, of course he does. This is beautiful. No, I love the cadence on this. I would love to be able to constantly do that. And I love when AP does teach me things. Don't ever forget that. He's the guy that teaches me things, and I get to tell him how wonderful he is.
Professor AP.
Professor.
Oh. Raconteur, the other fourth of the board just arrived. Hatter's here.
Hello.
Thank you, AP.
Good evening, Mr. Hat.
Hats off.
Hats off. No, hats on.
Okay, wait. I have one more question for AP and the rest AP. So now I'm going to do an AP lesson. So when you do break the pattern, you go from three lines, is it always better to put the fourth line underneath as a three line instead of just breaking the pattern of the three line? Because you did that.
I did. I in this particular case, I actually think it works because it's a single response and it's such a great line. And so, to me, because it's a great response and because it's almost like it's a conversation, and because I really like the line and you'd want to highlight the line if I wrote it. Then I would always put it out on a separate line, but it depends, you know. If you were doing something for rhythm and flow purposes, and Deb does this often, she'll put a four line stanza and mix it with a three, and it works for effect very well. But for me, this was a back and forth conversation, and so that's why. And as I said, it was a really good line, so I would always keep it out on its own.
Because I went back and forth on it, and you did it, so I was just wondering because I thought about doing that too. So, okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Are you writing
those evil things again?
No, Hatter. No. Remember how in yesterday's show I was saying that Sweet tortured us because she came up with an almost rhyming poem, yeah?
Yes. Remember that?
You have. Yes, I did.
It's now rhyming. It's now rhyming. There's a rhyming version of the court. Yeah. Fully rhyming.
Oh, the madness has gone crazy. I thought,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's AP's favorite thing to do. It's make us crazy. Right, AP?
Okay, the Pam and AP show. The Pam and AP show is now done taking over Racking Sports show.
The madness has gone crazy.
I can have an AP show without taking the back seat. I have no problem with that. It'll be like a roast. Do you like roasted corn, AP?
Oh, that's fine. A little bit of roast meat would be lovely with it. Roast potatoes, you know, just carrot, you know, all the fixings, you know, yeah.
It depends on what kind. It has to be little red baby potatoes, otherwise it wouldn't sink.
No, I like the little red potatoes. You're right. It's very nice. Roasted. Very nice.
Talking potatoes. Very talking barbecue.
Potatoes.
Absolutely. And saying that, my dinner's going to be ready in about 20 minutes. No, yeah.
Get out of here. You're having it delivered, Hatter.
Swear to God.
Well, is that your favorite meal of the day?
It's my only meal of the day.
There you go. Some people, I agree with that. I like that diet, actually. That works for me, and watching calories. I'm fairly sedentary now that I'm disabled. So, you know, that's one of those things that, you know, if you sit there and you have three squares a day and then you eat all your regular calories and everything, next thing you know, you're a tank.
Can't have that.
You've got to be active. Did you want to read, Hatter?
It doesn't have to be next, but soon probably.
Well, if you've got food coming and you're on a schedule, I don't have a problem if anybody else does. Let me get one more comment to AP for his re-rhyme.
Good word.
Adam, did you remember Sweet Pea's poem from the other night? Were you there for that? Or
I was there. No? I was there. Yes, I was, and I remember. And I remember AP's funny exposition about how it was almost a rhyme, but not quite rhyme. So he wanted to, and it was frustrating. And yada yada. I felt this was cool, but I prefer peace.
Oh,
it's cool. But I'm a free verse. I'm from a philosophy of. Yeah. I'm from a philosophy of know how to do it to not do it. Right. First, I don't think it's I don't think it's beyond Sweet Pea's kin to do such a thing as rhyme and meter and bounce and. But
no.
I
think she did it completely deliberately to patter and me in a place which is completely appropriate.
To grind your gears
completely,
a bit, maybe.
Completely logically done.
She's smarter than you think.
No.
She goaded you.
Completely
she knew this was coming.
Yeah.
She knew
no,
it would
it
happen.
Was there. It was all there, just not put in the right spot.
Oh, my God. You guys are horrible. But I'm from the philosophy of it. That's beautiful. It's all art anyways. But I like the idea of knowing how to do things so you don't do them. And, I you know, Sweet Pea, you're gold. What you did was awesome. Uh-huh. The way that whole poem went, the end, it brought the kick. It had the kiss. Had that, you know, that you were satisfied after you read it, because the way it ended had the punch was necessary to bring the whole poem together with the nod to Poe and everything. And it was like you almost like it, the way. Oh, now I'm going on about Sweet's poem when I should be talking about AP's. It was, you know, it was great. I actually love that kind of disjointed thought. You know, when. How they, you know, she was talking about the out of order, you know, what is not the natural thought process to put this phrase before that phrase or that context of an idea before that. But it works, and like, you know, you guys are saying, you kind of have to force it sometimes when it's a rhyme poem. Well, you do and you don't. You know, some say it's hard. I think it's actually fairly simple, but I might be saying that, like, putting a target on my, like, well, then do it then. And, you know, I... Right, you know, it's like, I feel like the bounce and the rhythm of it does take away from the darkness. There's something about nursery rhyme that's not dark. It's just, you know, I'm not saying it's, you know what I mean, like, but it's well done. You know, you can't get away from that, AP. You're a great writer and you have a ability. And I feel like it's more of just you guys are just jousting with each other a bit, and it's funny and it's great, you know.
Very much so.
See, and that's my favorite way to talk about poems, sense of understanding. You know, you came from the point that you came from, Sweet Pea, and you wrote it the way that you did, and, you know, whether it was to irritate them or just, you know, that was your style, at the end of the day, you know, you came out with a great poem, and then inspired AP to make it rhyme, and, you know, again, you could, you know, talk to him about the meter and everything and why and what and how things fit where they fit. So, you know, the people judge for themselves which they prefer and which they don't. And, you know,
that I didn't do it on purpose, but it was definitely a bonus.
It's just one was Art Garfunkel and the other one was Paul Simon. So there you go.
Like a
troubled
water, I will lay me down.
Right on the train track, lay down. Hatter, what'd you bring us?
Well, a poem. I didn't have a final edit, so we're going to see how it goes. Oh, went the wrong way. There you go. My favorites had changed. A Rocketeer blog talk. It was like this. The day I went back home, it was clear there was something wrong. Everything changed. My favorites were gone. I fell to my knees asking, please, isn't there one thing that remains the same? The tree I carved with two names inside was taken down to split for wood. The place we met, we swore we would ne'er to forget. Starbucks is where it stood. Angry and sad, turned to just being mad. I remembered my wish. I remember where we first kissed. I'm sorry. Maybe it has not changed. When I found the spot, it was a parking lot for a little league baseball game. Troubled to see it all moved on. When I came across the senior lawn, something I hid in the Altoids tin, a message for who might find it. I stood on the bench next to the tree. I reached for the place that I could not see. There was the tin I hid so long ago. I opened it up. I had to know. The note I read was not me. Somebody found it in the crotch of that tree. They left a message that goes like this. Remember to jump and do not fear the place where you will land. Nobody will care if you are gone. Do you understand? Keep calm and listen and remember their names. It might just be everything's changed. So don't be mad and don't be sad. This happens all the time. Came back where I grew up. Nothing here was mine. So here's a clue. If you happens to you, call me at
857-5309. I love that. I think that is brilliant. You know, there's so many thoughts of starting with growth, but. Growing up, I was always fascinated with magic and things like that and how people do things. And people literally, you know, in order to do a magic trick, they do plan for years ahead of time and do things like put something in a tree that you're going to grow around it. So there's a way to, like, you know, explain what happened, but that, you know, they thought about it and set it up so many years ago so that when they come back later on, they could say, you know, well, look at that. And it's like, you know, it was a magical coincidence. I love things like that. You know, and you know, you kind of made me think of that when you talk about the tree and the Altoid tin and stuff. But yeah, I thought this is brilliant. You know, and the way things change, that's definitely, you know, people's favorite things as an example. you know, people's tastes change, and that would affect what was once their favorite, because if things stayed the same, then it would still be their favorite. So, you know, you can't talk about them without acknowledging that, you know, well, one day I hated Brussels sprouts and now they're my favorite food or something stupid like that. You know, it's one of those things. And you know, it's to me, I believe very much in situational things. It's like, you know, you could say so and so is your favorite person, but you know, different people bring out different things in each other. And one day, you know, one person might be your favorite, and tomorrow the other one. You know, it's like, you know, they're starting to get on my nerves. It's like, well, that goes to Hatter's chain. I really enjoyed this Hatter. I enjoyed it a lot, you know. And again, you know, everyone talks about the Hatter rhyme and cadence. You definitely built that into this piece. AP, did you want to comment for Hatter?
Yeah, it's a really fun poem. And you know, oftentimes with a really good Hatter poem, you come away with one or two sort of lines that really inspire you to go and write something else. And
yeah,
in this particular one, there's probably six or eight. And so I actually think this has more sort of head and thinking content than the last two or three Hatter poems put together. So I actually really like it because it's got a lot of, you know, if it was a barbecue steak Hatter, it would be rich and deep. And it's really cool.
Yeah, you can probably tell what you're feeling is the morphing of different thought process where I wanted to go with it. At one time I had it signed by Barack Obama, but I couldn't find anything that rhymed with Obama.
Yeah.
Your mama.
Your mama. Yeah, let's see.
You'll get one or two lines, and then you'll run the poem around those two lines. Maybe you'll even repeat them. But this one has, as I said, six or eight that are fantastic. The story with the tin is fantastic, really brilliant, and the message back in the tin is even better. Finish is great. But then you've got the lines up the top. The tree with two names inside was taken down and split for wood. And the place you'd never forget, a Starbucks, is where it stood. And then you have the Little Leaguers. I mean, as I said, it's got, you know, four or five sort of stellar points in it. And the way it finishes is just fantastic.
Thanks, AP. It was sort of fun to write. I broke up the rhyming pattern throughout the thing a little bit. Thought you were going to give me the stuff.
Like the tree.
Yeah.
Well, like the tree got broken.
Yeah, there's a tree. There's a line that doesn't even rhyme, standing in the middle.
I know.
You saw that. Okay.
Of course you found it.
Yeah. It goes straight through the paper, Hatter. I sort of thought, oh, well, he's lost his mind there for a minute, but that's okay. We always do.
can you comment for Hatter, please?
I had to find my mute button. For starters, Hatter, I like your art that you put with this. It's really cool, and I like the crazy, chaotic emotions changing back and forth, and at certain times, by the sound in your voice, there was like pieces of you in those lines, like possibly that tree with the initials in it that's cut down. And then it took on like this, I think somebody mentioned, like a spooky feel with the response in the box. And I just think that this is so cool. It was like you were, the things that kept you up last night, you just put them all on paper. But there was also some sadness that came out of your voice in a couple of spots. So it kind of felt like you mixed part of yourself and how you're feeling at the moment in with a whole bunch of great lines to try and hide that you were sad, and then you topped it all off with the closing line, except Jenny's number is 867, just saying. But
8,
the poem,
is it? Okay. 8-6. Yeah, it is. 867. Okay, I'll change that. Thank you.
Yeah, but I love it. It's great.
When
I'm going to get emotional.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead, Hat.
Nothing. I just said that I wanted to get all the emotions, the whole gamut of emotions. It was sad,
yeah,
bad.
You,
and then, yeah,
so. You definitely took us for a ride.
Yep.
And then, you know, when I was talking about the subject, Adam, I was, you know, we mentioned that it was very, you know, kind of open-ended and you could go just about anywhere with it. And you really ran with that aspect of it with the change because, you know, you had your cake and you ate it too. And Adam, if you would comment for Hatter, please.
Oh, yeah. I'm really yeah, I agree with everybody. So, like, this was mad, man. Like Deb was saying, there's this myriad of versatility. There's these emotions of everything, and you're just throwing it, you know. And it's almost like you had an idea for something. But there's definitely these pieces of you. I feel sprinkled. Like, no, you had an idea for something, but you didn't quite actually. No. Like you had this overarching idea. Like you've had a feeling and an idea. And you just attacked it, but it was like you attacked it sporadically, and there's like the pieces of you hidden within this that are truth. And there's this sad, there's a humor that looks like it's trying to hide a sadness. And the reality, because I really felt this had a really strong, like, what I can be nostalgic for, I no longer can because it's gone. So I no longer can go back to that place. Nostalgia is a funny thing, you know. It's this phenomenon where it can take us back 50, 40, 30, 20 years, right to the moment, right to the time, right there in that pocket. Again, it's a time traveling, like capacity for emotions, and almost this piece gives me the idea that it's gone. This thing that you wanted to revisit, you can no longer revisit. It is stolen from you, and in that, you know, and in the sense when you find this fucking tin, this tin where the message has been replaced, and it's basically a message that says, so what, bozo, move on. Like, it's like, what the heck? But that's actually, like, great advice. It's this weird, it was really brilliant, and then I love at the end, like, it's weird, this feels like a very tongue-in-cheek thing to put Jenny's number on there, on blast, but yet it's to call you. So it's like, it gives me this weird idea that, like, maybe this pristine thing wasn't so great, and yeah, I don't know. This was actually pretty brilliant, Hatter. You're mad, though, dude. You're nuts. And this is awesome. And I loved your artwork, too, by the way. You know, I saw that it's a original. This was cool. Cool and, like, definitely a mad romp. Like, it starts out being this thing, and I feel like it twisted and changed and evolved as you went and became something actually smart, very smart, really, and great. Modern too, in a way. That's very modern, and great piece. Then it was cool. I enjoyed it. The more I read it too, the more I go over it and hear what, you know, others are saying about it. It's like, yeah, I feel that, I see that, and I felt this, you know, opposed to, you know, differently than they did, but similarly, right in the same vein. You know, great piece.
Yeah, thanks. And like I said, it morphed from one idea to the next to probably about four different times. And I was lucky to find that ending. But there's a lot of truth. There is a lot of truth to it. I went back home after a decade, and it had all changed. Yeah. Couldn't even walk on campus anymore.
Let me get you one last comment for Sweet, and then have her read hers so she can exit when she's ready.
Oh.
Or did we lose her already? Sweet.
She's probably
muted.
I'm muted because I was muted.
You're malamuted.
I was muted. Marshmallow Man always makes me smile. I can just kind of see this little boy elf attitude, you know. Just going up, I'm going to open the tin I left here, like time capsule, and it's not there. And I just kind of see the sadness and this little bit of Why isn't it there? Where's my past? Where's what I want? You know, because, you know, he was this mega football star and all of that. And there's this wanting, this waning, and this sadness to have what he had. And as we grow older, and because I'm old too, and, you know, we think of all the things that we had and what we want. And, you know, there's that philosophy of what's happening in our lives. We're, you know, we sometimes think back and nostalgia hits you. And that's what I kind of see through this poem, is things do change as we grow older. You know, what's it about? Where are we going? What did I have? What didn't I have? And, you know, you just kind of flow with that thought. And, you know, where am I at? I mean, Hatter, you don't even have the same body parts anymore. You've replaced hips, you've replaced that. I mean, I'm sure you're very nostalgic. I mean, my heart's part cow. If I reach into a tin box, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I can see all kinds of things in this poem that you're reaching for. But I like it. You made me smile. You made me think of things like that. So I think you're wonderful. You make me smile every day.
Yeah, there's a lot of truth, like I said, in it. I'm the guy that puts the elf door at the bottom of a tree out in the wilderness that someday somebody will find.
Exactly.
I stitch homemade bags out of burlap and tie it up and put little gold rocks in it. I painted gold behind the door. So hiding the tin was nothing. I've done that before.
Exactly. And why not call Jenny? We don't know what that slut's been doing for years. I'm sorry.
I just can't remember where they are. No, I don't know where they are.
But somebody will find him, and how great is that?
Yeah, I always figured it'd make some work. The last one I did a bunch of elf doors on an island up when I was living with the rich and famous. And the property had this waterfall system with koi fish, but they filled it in. So the volcano where the water spewed out, that was the island and everything around it. And around it, I stacked rocks and put elf doors in it for some kid to maybe find.
Nice.
There's even a Facebook page there, so they're directed to contact if they find it.
Okay, so, you know, you're one of those people that does that drops rocks and everything like that. So this is a true story. I still have the rock. I know there are people that put messages on rocks and they drop rocks all over the place and they do it all over the world. I was walking with my grandson about a month before my heart surgery, and we were walking in the park, and I found a rock. And on the rock was a painted heart and the word hope. And I found that rock. I've had that rock ever since. So don't ever think somebody's not going to appreciate that someday.
So the Charlie Brown Halloween just took on a whole new meaning.
There you go.
I know.
Rock.
I got a rock.
I got a rock. I'll just send you guys a picture of my rock. Yeah. My hope rock.
I remember one time where I got the idea. I kept the idea. I was in sixth grade, I believe, and there was a trailer that on the school grounds. And on the side of the trailer was written "I am." And it just sort of set me back, got me thinking. The river. He doesn't even know that I saw it. So that was there. You know, being anonymous, there's a certain gratification and selfishness to it.
Huh. See the weirdness that us little writers think so young and we're just like, people should not do that to minds like ours. All right.
Peace out,
I'm ready to read. Our self-philosophy and all these kinds of things. Yeah. Short but sweet, and I think it rhymes. Body parts.
Jesus.
Uh-oh. All
right. Uh-oh. What are we doing?
What's happening?
Uh-oh.
She said
I got to put my own poem. I think it rhymes. I just got to find it.
Well, AP will let you know.
Okay.
Okay.
Do I got to put it up there? Is it not on the board? Can I not put it up there?
You're asking the blind guy?
I'm asking the blind guy.
I'm refreshing.
I'm getting it right now.
I don't see it yet.
No, Deb's getting it. Deb's getting it. Hush.
I am.
Everyone wants to know from who.
You're hilarious.
Deb.
No, it's all good. I can't find the dang chat room. Is
can
it
I help?
I found an itty bitty sweet poem, and I found the team of voices. Here we go.
Oh.
It is an itty bitty sweet poem. Can you believe it? I don't ever write brother use, and I did because this is my favorite thing.
All right.
Before the first raindrop hits the ground, the birds stop their songs. The wind does not spin. This is my moment to live in. And poem.
Wow.
And
curse you for making me think of Pretty Bird, but nice. you know, you mentioned sweet. Everyone thinks of sweet pea. You mentioned birds, and well, at least that's where my mind goes. The thing about brevities, I like the open-endedness of it, but it's still is like a guided tour. You put someone on a path, and you know, you get their mind spinning. And you're not giving them the answer, but you're pointing them towards it, I think. And this is, you know, that thought that makes you happy. And like you said, your favorite thing. So perfect for the theme, perfect for what you gave us. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
AP, what'd you think?
Isn't that a great first line before the first raindrop hits the ground? Because it just sets the scene, and it would set the scene for a small poem or a big poem, but with a brevity, you've got less time and less words to get things right, and so that first line is really important, and Sweet absolutely nails it here.
Beautiful job, thanks, AP, great comment. Hatter, can you comment for Sweet?
This needs more. This just needs more. I think you should pass it around to us, and we all add a verse.
Okay.
But, you know, keep
for
this one for you.
See, I believe in the adage, I'll always leave them wanting more. You know, as AP can tell you about that being popular thought in the theater. I don't know how he feels about poetry, but, you know, as far as that idea goes, I mean, obviously he loves poetry if he's got his own foundation for it. must be a little fond of it. just a wee bit to put the Irish out in me. Adam, can you comment for Sweet?
Yeah, I read this way earlier today. I was like, holy crap, she did like a – I've never seen – I mean, I haven't seen a brevity from – this is actually my – you know, she popped my brevity cherry for herself. Does that make any sense? Like, I've never seen a brevity from Sweet Pea, and, you know, especially just – but I was, like, blown away by it earlier when I had read it. I didn't comment till now, but – It's beautiful. It's really beautiful, and it leaves, you know, and I get what Hatter's saying, like, you want more from it. Of course, and all great brevity leaves you wanting more. That's part of, I think, what, you know, either you want to be completely satisfied, and like you know, or you want to be left wanting more. And I think we humans want to be left wanting more sometimes. We want to be wanting and not be, and not have a true just finality to it. And this does do that. It does have that effect, Hatter. You're damn right. It leaves you wanting more. You want to hear more about this place, which is common. It's a place we all could visit. It's a place we're all, you know, welcome to. It's a place from nature. It's an environmental happening that's all around, but deeper, it's her. It's a place of peace here. We find that's what she's talking about, a moment of peace that stretches, you know, forever in its moment, and it's reflective of the, you know, it's perspective of the one person experiencing it. So we could all be in this moment. It's like that, you know, the day you feel the sun is only shining on you, right? We've all been there and had some idea of that. Like you feel like every, you know, just today the sun is shining just for me. Or, the, you know, if there's been a thought of that name, it's almost what we're getting from this. Is this, it's a moment that everybody in this area that this storm is lulling before it comes, you know, it's, but like she's experiencing it in a special way and sharing that with the reader. Like it's very introspective and real and true, and I love it for that. I love to be there in this moment with her before the storm, because you know it's coming, right? It's like it's that, I love that, you know, and that, you know, and just speaking of nature, that is a great time when the sky's darkening a bit and you have this, you know it's going to rain, you can smell it, it's in the air, there's an, and also there's an electricity of feel that there's going to be a great storm ahead here, it's coming, and then, but it's not there yet, it's that peace, almost similar to the idea of the eye in the storm, right, the eye in the hurricane, you know, it's that low, that feeling right before it all happens, it's great, it's very great, it's very, anyways, I'm going to go on and on, but shut up.
Well, you don't really need to, because what you did was, I'm going to float the metaphor before I turn the comment over to Deb, the idea of how it parallels life. The calm before the storm and things that happen in your life and the moment. Can you comment, Deb?
I sure can. Yeah. No, I like that first line pulls you in before the rain, before the first raindrop hits the ground, because there are so many things that can come after that, because not only do they get really quiet right before a storm, but sometimes you can tell that something ominous is going on just because the cricket stopped and the bird stopped, and so it could have went so many ways. And when you get to the fact that the bird song stopped, it just, you, like I said, you're expecting that doom. But the wind does not spin, and this is my moment to live in. So it was like, for a minute there, you thought things were going to go bad, but they didn't. And here you go, you're living. So it's like pretty powerful for four little tiny lines. Really awesome, sweet.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you.
Rack?
Yes, sir.
Before I disappear, can I put a little poem on the directly onto the board that I've just finished?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So I'm just going to put this straight on the Team of Voices board, yeah?
Oh, no.
Because I've been...
Did you turn Hatter's rhyming poem into a free verse poem?
No, bear with me, though. Bear with me, though, Rack. Just take that thought. Okay, here we go. An unnamed poem just written. It's difficult to find a favourite, so we'll blend lines from a few different pieces contend. Everything changes as my favourite's gone, carry hope with weight, yet pliable upon. Butterflies don't obscure their presence, there is a sadness within their pleasance. Trees whistling quietly in a magpie's lure, the gold clocks behind a door left explore. Within a rock, a printed heart saying hope, I am on an anomalous trailer beyond low, before the first raindrop hits ground, waves as brumbies break to islands found. Colours that once formed a rainbow curled by a rear view, his hazel eyes left unfurled. Somewhere will rack the butterflies to see, then nevermore would I return to this tree.
Oh, my goodness.
Man, AP.
I recognize some of them. Lines. Wow.
Oh, AP.
The definition of creativity, brother. Beautiful.
Yes.
And obviously you just wrote that because we just spit it out a few minutes ago, so bravo.
We did.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just written. Yes.
Enjoy the rest of your... Is there anything you need to, anything you got coming up on the air that you need to push?
I absolutely don't know. I've got at some point next month I'll do a Tic Mac Banjo. I did want to say thank you to all the people who put poems into the AP Taylor contest number 2. They are fantastically sensational, and I had great enjoyment reading them last time, commentating on all of them. So my thanks to everybody on the site. My thanks to Deb for setting it all up. Yeah, it's been terrific, so thank you.
Thanks, AP.
And your announcement is February 22nd is Tic Mac Banjo.
There you go. I knew it was coming. So I'm trying to fool everybody that I'm back. That doesn't happen sometimes.
Thanks, AP.
Thanks, Rax. Thanks, everybody. Talk soon.
Take care.
Be okay, off. Cheers.
Love and respect.
Okay, Dev, you're up if you like.
Ah, okay. Well, okay, so here's the deal. Mr. Raconteur, I am horrible, lousy, terrible. I cannot ever pick a favorite of anything because I'm a Gemini. So what I did instead was a poem. I grabbed a poem that I have a favorite, excuse me, that I have one of my favorite comments on my poem of all time. And the comment was from Titus. So I figured, you know, at least everybody would know who I was talking about. But he gave me this comment, and I had been on the site 1 month when I wrote this poem, and the comment that he put on it was just, like, unforgettable. Yeah. Anyway. So the poem... It was written for the Winter Park Paintout. The painting that I wrote to was by the artist Jeff Ripple, and it's called Captured Perspective, and he calls the art Stormy Weather. So here goes my poem. Zephyr fluxes create goosebumps along the flesh. Stormy weather brews out across the vast horizon. Greedy tempests seek to embezzle the nautical day, jeopardizing sun worship, invoking solemn orison. Gray hues intertwining, engulfing glorious white clouds, bright blue iridescent turns opaque, spawns murky sky. Thunder rumbles from heaven's peerless surround sound, impenetrable darkness bidding sunshine a hasty goodbye. Tenacious reverberations induce calm waters to ripple. Relentless sobs of angels rain down from a somber sky. Mother Nature emancipates immense menacing furor, intimidating Earth's elements so they'll humbly comply. Monumental evergreens, sovereign in shadowed landscapes, endearing bungalows romanticize. Their seduction effective. Tempestuous conditions forever memorialized in oil, on linen. Stormy Weather by Jeff Ripple. His Captured Perspective. End the poem.
Wow. You know, I'm in, I guess, a unique position not being able to see it, so I could tell you what the imagery of what you wrote, you know, conjures for me. And, you know, I could kind of imagine the paintings, and I could see why, he would have picked that. You won that, you said, right? and you know, the first thought that you threw about, you know, picking a favorite, yeah, you know, as far as our poems go, it's like trying to pick a favorite child if you have children, and, you know, that whole concept, I get that. So I'm glad you went with the, you know, you got your favorite comment from this piece, and, you know, it's easy to see why. There's a lot of things that, you know, I guess people tend to call them style or whatever, but, you know, I call, you know, signature, you know, this is what I think of when I think of Deb, you know, when Deb writes, you can count on the colors and some of the wording, you know. I know there wasn't a word bank, but, you know, I imagine if you had a word bank, you would have put Zephyr in it and things like that. So, you know, I really like your word choices. You conjured a sense of movement that I'm sure is in the painting as well. So all that combined, you know, makes this, you know, a beautiful piece written to, you know, the painting. Almost like, I guess you would call them tribute pieces, really. You know, if you're writing to a painting, that's not much different than being a tribute. So, you know, I could see why, you know, you picked it. It was beautiful.
Thank you so much, Raconteur. Appreciate that.
Sweet. Any comments?
Oh, I don't know if I was around for the very first one way back then. This is gorgeous. I love always how you use colors for your imagery. I mean, I can never do it. I try, but I can't. You've taught me well, and I'm working on it. But monumental, evergreen, shaded landscapes, bungalows, romanticized, tempest conditions, relentless sobs of angels rain down from somber skies, bright blue iridescence turns opaque, zephyr fluxes. I like that, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't know how you've ever done this, but impenetrable darkness, binding sunshine. You have so many great lines in here. I actually sound like you. When you're talking about other people's poems. But it's just, you describe it so well. It's like you almost don't even need the painting. You can, a mind's eye just visualizes it. This is really one of the top-notch poems. And did you win any on this? Oh, you won the gold on this, huh? Wow.
Yeah.
I can see why. Absolutely can see why. Very, very well done, Deb. Congratulations on the gold. That's a hard one to take. And I can see why you did it. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, I was like I said, I had only joined in February. The contest was in April, and that was the first time I stumbled across Mr. Titus Llewellyn, because he was one of the judges, and that was my first encounter with him, and it has stuck with me, 7 years since then? So, like, yeah. If you get a chance after the show, take a look at the comment. He just blew me away, and it's one of my favorite comments. So, anyway, but thank you for the comment.
Oh, sure. Read it.
Titus has the whole alphabet after his name, huh? The letters? Anyway, he's how does encouraging you to read Titus's comment?
Oh,
straight away, with regards to mine. You have not made the schoolboy errors of cliché or forced recognition. This alone gets a beautiful top mark. You did not oversee this piece, which gets another. A poem with commitment to more than 11 syllables, then maintaining it, then on reading to gather more information. What's been thought finding? One cannot ignore the fact that you've added the sentiment tones of illustrations. I can't say that word. Illustrate. Oh, well, you're going to have to read that word.
Lustrous.
Classic nature on. There you go. Classic nature high on the list. That is, if they were used often in other poems, you've indeed selected the mighty ones, notably Zephyr Fluxes, Tempest, Embezzle, Intertwine, Engulfing Glorious, Iridescence, Tenacious, Reverberations, Emancipates, Monumental, Endearing, Tempuous. Classic words richly adding to the experience of the scene, adding texture to a scene, adding vivid memory as well. Well done, Titus. Deborah, I was well impressed with your piece, but you should put the ink in white as it isn't clear on the classic site. Thanks, Titus.
Isn't that what I said?
I thought I said that.
It goes a little like that.
There you go.
Thank you. Yeah, no, but imagine being here for 1 month and getting that kind of a comment on your poem. All of us, when we were newbies, got a comment like that, we would have stuck around, you know, a lot of people would stick around a lot longer. I was blown away by it. Thanks for reading it, my sweet.
You're welcome.
Heather, can you comment for Debs?
Unmuted. Yeah, well, I don't know if I've read this before. Did you win the paint out with this one? Was it the one?
She won the gold.
I did, yeah. I won the gold, yep. 50,000 points, and that was a big deal, too, because you were commenting your brains out just trying to get a couple points. So I was, like, blown away. Then I got hooked on the Winter Park paint out. And now we get to sponsor it. Talk about full circle.
There you go. Nicely done. On my list.
Thank you, Hatter.
You're on my list. Oh, Earworm Adam.
Who's violating you, Rick?
Me.
Not me. Are you calling me out on that? I didn't put anything in your ear. How dare you? But I thought this was great. There's an infusion and a back and forth of taking nature, making it human, taking human and making it nature that I really enjoyed throughout this piece. Like, if that makes sense. I feel like it's there. I saw it. I don't know. But that... I'm a little sheets to the wind here, a few. So I hope I don't sound so. But, yes, there's a great – I mean, you're right. Like, how – you know, if new poets that were emerging or dare to put – you know, and sometimes they're young, right? It's, you know, youthful people. But it's like to support each other. And, you know, that comment kept – it was like a – it was a thing that stuck with you all this time still even. You know, it was profound that he was so giving in that he recognized this within you and told you it, right? Because sometimes we see greatness in each other or, a great thing maybe, not necessarily greatness, but we don't tell each other about it. You know what I'm saying? Does this make sense, right? We do this accidentally, I feel, or because humans aren't used to complimenting each other. Humans aren't used to ingratiating each other, you know, to these ideas that you're amazing, by the way. Humans, I think it's a problem. We don't compliment each other enough. We're so used to not saying anything. Like, how many times I've thought, like, man, this person's amazing. They just, you know, the way they do this or that or whatever. But you don't tell them. You know, you don't tell someone you feel that way. And we should, you know. And thank God Titus did share that with you. A month in, it is a great, like, I couldn't imagine hearing something like that, you know, because I've heard the opposite, right? There's some awful people sometimes that lurk in these same waters, and I've heard people be told, like, wow, your poem is so awful, you know, and they're brand new to writing poetry to begin with, and be told they're awful, right? But, you know, in the same waters we all swim in. So it's like to get that is such a gift, and that you honored that and, you know, honor him and remembering it all this time, like it stuck with you. What a beautiful, I mean, what a great write, like, though, what a great write. Like, to get back to the piece, you know, you encompass it, and I love just the personification. Not only, but then I don't know what you would call to make nature human. It's like the opposite of it's the inversion of the idea. There's no word for that. I don't think there's actually a word for that. Yeah, there's not a term for inverting the idea of personification. Does this make sense, or am I just drunk?
You're both. Drunk.
I was going to go.
Thank you for your honesty.
But you're adorable, so it's okay.
There's definitely an inversion. There's a capacity of a whole idea that's the inversion of personification. It's when nature imprints upon you, the human, and you can recognize that because luckily we are a being of consciousness and can witness that, wow, I am nature and nature is me. We're one and the same. We're not apart. You know, anyway, yes. Thank God I'm just adorable. Thank you, sweet.
You're welcome.
Great piece, Deb. I love it. You know what? And this still feels like you. Like, it's, you've been true to you. Even you could read a piece you wrote yesterday or, you know, just an hour ago or 3 hours, because you're such a writing fiend. I don't know. You know, like, you write so much. And it's like, you're still the same. Like, you are there. You've not lost yourself. And great.
Aww.
And kudos for that.
Great comment. Thank you.
No, what's happening? Static storm.
Okay. No, I think that was the studio. But so what'd you bring us tonight, Adam?
I brought, wow,
your drink. And you drank it.
I didn't like your idea. I heard the jab earlier. Yes, I didn't like your idea of favorites because it was too open ended for me. I want to be told a little bit what to do. Not too much, but yeah, don't let say do anything to me, because then it's like, oh, there's just too many options here. I don't know. It like stunts me somehow. Like, it's like, oh, there's so many options. So, you know, we played with the idea of, you know, I thought I'll just pick my own favorite piece to share. Yeah, that's easy. That's a cop out. And then I didn't go with that, though. I went with what I guess I could say is a piece inspired by my favorite muse. Or,
okay.
You know, in this vein, right? So that's where I went with. I went with a piece that's inspired by what I could say is my favorite muse. But like you said, it changes. It's a fickle thing. We all kind of, oh, I like them today, but not yesterday. I like them, you know, tomorrow, but not right now. So it's called, so there you go, Rag. That's what I brought you. I brought you a piece about a muse.
Here you go.
It's called Homely Girl's Flame. And that's an inside statement.
Homely girl?
There's something, homely. We think of the word homely and we don't hold that idea in a high regard necessarily, maybe. Homely, right? But in this sense, it's actually a very cherished personal thing. So it actually has a great weight to it. It's actually, it would be more meaningful than beautiful in this sense, just to give a context to the idea of homely here. I'll just read. Let me just read and stop talking.
Breathe.
Sunset shimmers in cascade against the porcelain silken skin. Hues of autumn burn as if from within, reflected from a milky lake, warm and inviting, a soothing shade. Her hair is an orange starburst, rays of gentle light and play. Pillowy glow by which I rest my thoughts, which flows and easy, swept up in her breeze. She is steadfast. She is beauty. She gnaws the pretty threads with nervous nips she weaves, tender twists of delicate lips and hands. The smell is sweet as candied dreams. It's wafting an aroma alivening. My hungry eyes starve for her, the one I adore. She is in my every pore. I wish to unpack the flavors of her scent, unfold and smooth over the edges of the chew, in my savageness seeping through. Danger and adventure no map can lead, amber jewel of desire hidden yet seen, hewn from the bosom of the sun, before my inept eyes heat in waves, radiate rose gold, rusty red nude, dare I tempt in passion's fruit. The ivory contours go round and round, polished marble of statuesque divinity, sculpted deftly in perfect poetry and prose, letter by word, by line, by verse, my fire, which forever burns, I am hers. End peace.
Lovely. Wow. You know, that's a beautiful tribute to this girl. I could tell. You were definitely intrigued, enamored, all those things. And a lot of your words, you know, tend to echo, people put things in the context that they're familiar with. So, you know, people, or, you know, at least I think, feel like I know someone that somewhat fits that description. So it further draws you in. You did a great job making it, you know, relatable but personal, and beautiful use of language, and obviously wearing your heart on your sleeve.
Oh, Thank you, Adam.
Can you comment for Adam?
He's not has a mouthful of steak and potatoes.
He had to go grab his dinner.
Okay. On you, Deb.
Sucker.
Awesome sauce. Yeah. No. I for one thing, I really like the title, the Homely Girl's Flame. It actually made me giggle just a little. And there's that. What's that song? Never marry a marry an ugly girl. Oh, I can't think of it. But it for some reason made me think.
I think I know the song you're talking about.
Yeah, it's driving me crazy now. Only marry. I'll think of it. Back to the poem. Like in the middle there, she gnaws the pretty threads with nervous nips. She weaves tender twist of delicate lips and hands. The smell of sweet and candied dreams. And hey, I don't know if you knew this, Adam, but any poem that has the word sweet in it is about my sweet. So it was very nice of you to bring a tribute poem for Sweet Pea. Just saying. And at the end there, danger and adventure no map can lead. Amber jewel of desire, hidden yet seen. There's something so clever about that, hidden yet seen. So I like to play on words through this one. And what was that? Sculpted deity. I'm sorry, sculpted deathly, imperfect poetry in prose. Letter by word, by line, by verse. There's just something all-encompassing about that, the feeling right there. And I thought that was really awesome. And a great read, too.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, thank you. So there's,
was that Elvis? Sweet Pea, can you comment to Adam, please?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, usually words with sweets generally tend to be about me, except I'm far from a homely girl. But did I say her hair is an orange starburst? So I'm kind of worried about you. So
what does that mean?
Well, you know,
don't worry for me.
Warm and inviting, a soothing shade. Her hair is an orange starburst, rays of gentle light in play. She gnaws the pretty threads with nervous nip as she weaves, tender twist of delicate lips and hands. The smell is sweet as candied dreams. I love that line. I do. But I like this even better. My hungry eyes starved for her, the one I adored. She's in my every pore. I wish to unpack the flavors of her scent, unfold and smooth over the edges of the chew. I just think this is just beautifully written. I really do. By word, by line, by verse. My fire, which forever burns, I am hers. You're right, just sensual, seductive love poems. And I think you're very, very good at it. Yeah, I would really, I really think you are. I've told you this before. I think you just have a way with words, and I just like, wow. I like, Rack has this way with the Hurt Locker. You have this way with the sensual locker. You just really do. I mean,
sensual
these
locker.
Are some great lines.
I like that.
No. I have the Hurt Locker. Adam has the pleasure chest.
Pleasure
like
chest.
I'm just saying,
I need to make one of
them. It just, you
that's
just
a
have
good name
that,
for
that.
A list.
Yeah. I like that. Mm-hmm. You do. My list for you is called the Adam Bomb. So it just has that really, that great sensual, and it's not just, you know, what you write, it's the words you use, you know, dare I tempt and pass in fruit, but letter by word, by line, by verse, my fire which burns forever, I am hers. I think every woman in the world would like to hear that from some man. And I don't think any, you know, it's just really, really great.
There's a few women that want to hear it from some women.
Yeah. Stunning.
Awesome.
Stunning work.
Oh, thank God. Oh, my God.
Yes.
Whoever this person is, they're called Jimmy Soul, and it's called If You Want to Be Happy. And Adam, this is what your title made me think of, and it's just a little piece of it. If you want to be happy for the rest of your life, never make a pretty woman your wife. So from my personal point of view, get an ugly girl to marry you. That's what your title made me think, just saying.
Oh, my God. You're right. Oh, boy. Yeah, homely is a very, that's a word that has, it only carries its own weight. But for this person that knows this is for them, that means something infinitely greater than that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it means something so much deeper to them to use that word specifically. It's very special for them.
Thank
use the word home, like, so it's not, but that's awful. Like, to make an ugly wife. No. No.
It's just all about perspective.
Right.
One man's ugly is another man's diamond, so.
Can I share this? I want to share something personal but also attached to this, that, like, the song that uses home, that they spurred this for her, originally, it's called, if anybody were cared to look it up, Homely Girl by UB40.
Yeah.
It's a song of the, I believe, you know, maybe late 90s era, maybe 2000, I don't know. UB40, you know, but that's the song. If anyone, it's Homely Girl by UB40. Look that up, and that was something special to this person, and what I took, and I've drank it in a long time ago, and it's been there ever since. So I don't know, you know. Anyways, yes, I just the Rack. What did you think, Rack? Oh, you said so already. Never mind. Shut up, Adam.
You got me mashing the lyrics in my head now. Hey there, homely girl. Homely. Anyway,
you're right.
I guess you might as well put mine up next. I want to talk about favorites, and you know, it's funny that you brought one that from like when you first started, Deb. I had almost a similar experience. One of my favorite pieces that I put out was when I first started. It was only here a couple months, I think, and I wrote this poem, and it's basically about writing. So it's not really a Hurt Locker poem, but it's definitely a word poem. So hopefully you'll like it.
Okay, it is on the board, and then after yours, you have four more on the board, three of which need readers. So
okay.
I am about. If you guys see Rack's poem, it's above that list I just put there. I'm about to push.
Got it.
Record. I'm about to push play.
Ink by Raconteur. Wrapped in a blanket of cold sweat, jarring me from the cobwebs of sleep, I am overcome by an irresistible compulsion, indiscernible from the shadows of my imagination. Mired in quicksand, I try to think. It's dark outside and I'm becoming distraught. My mind is on the precipice of a thought. Could it be my stomach I hear, or my muse gently murmuring my name, like camouflaged memories playing war games in my brain? Glimmering dust motes dancing in moonbeams to the beat of the blood pounding behind my eyes, teasing me, knowing that even beating like hummingbird wings, my heart will never be able to fill my lungs with the air I need to breathe satisfaction. Not simply goosebumps on the back of my neck, but a rash conquering my entire being, until slowly, like tiny rivulets of water droplets from a leaking faucet, words begin to accumulate in grease-filled similes and metaphors, inexorably alleviating my anxiety as coherent thought slowly begins to puddle and ultimately congeal in my consciousness, choking me with the relief that can only come from chasing a thought or penning an emotion until the feeling overwhelms me again. End poem.
Awesome choice, Rack. Wow. I think that second stanza there, mixed in quicksand, I try to think. It's dark outside and I'm becoming distraught. My mind is on the precipice of a thought. And like, you can sort of feel the sadness, you're there. It's like you're slipping into the quicksand. It's dark. You're getting, like, you know how sometimes everything sounds different at night than it does during the day, and that you tend to get freaked out, and then your mind's on the precipice, but there was something about saying of a thought, and it's like, wow, it must be a pretty wicked thought for the build up there with the quicksand and everything. And then where was that? Not simply goosebumps on the back of my neck, but a rash conquering my entire being. Like, if you've ever had hives, they start in a little patch, and then it itches, and then it gets red, and then it gets, if you don't find yourself some Benadryl, it just keeps going, right? And I'm picturing this, and it's conquering your entire being, and it's like, it adds to the power of the feeling there, and it's just like, whoa. And then I look over here, and I see that it's a gold winner, which easy to see why, teasing me, knowing that even beating like hummingbird wings, my heart will never be able to fill my lungs with the air I need to breathe satisfaction. And right there, Rolling Stone started coming with their lines in my head there, and it's just like, I don't know why all of a sudden tonight's poems keep triggering songs in my head. But the power of your ink, pun intended, is showing even from, how long ago did you say this was? One of your first ones?
Yep.
In 2020. You wrote this in 20. But, like, yeah, the power of your pen to make us feel maybe not Hurt Locker, Ready to Cry feel, but just your power to make us feel was evident here, and the wording is really brilliant. Great share. And
one more little bit of trivia: the little quote on the cover art was also mine. What did I write? I cry the salt in my tears, but
there.
I bleed.
There is self in my tears, but I bleed ink. Oh, I'm sorry. There is salt in my tears, but I bleed ink. Sorry, I had a hard time with the font. But that's an amazing quote. Wow. And I think my beautiful friend Sweet is muted.
I'm not muted.
Will you comment for Rock on Tour?
I can't.
She's a mutie.
You know, I said I'm the goblin in your head.
Oh, I love it.
I love that.
Just so that you know, I'm the goblin in your head. So listen to me carefully. So, and I did think it was kind of a weird line that you said it's dark outside, and that you're kind of trying to figure out, because it's always dark inside. So it's a little different perception for you, perspective.
Thanks, Sweet.
It's not something I can understand, so it's got to be a little even more different.
And Adam, sorry.
Oh, this is fucking brilliance on the page. I want to write something to this degree, but Rex done it. He's done it already. So who would I be? What could I do? He's done the deed. There's nothing else to be said. This is like, no, we all as writers, come on, we feel this. We know this. It is us. He just told us about our own experience. He fleshed it out onto the page. What is this feeling you get when it's right there? This, you want to write something. You have the feeling. You're there. It's an ethereal, amorphous thing that's laughing at you in the darkness, and you know it's there, and you're tonguing it with your thought to speak it out. What is it going to be? And you scribble with your pen. No, not right. Not that word, not that line, not this verse. This is garbage. This is not what I want to say. And you struggle to write the thing you feel, the feeling, that muse that's laughing at you. And that's what I love about this. It has the whole idea that your muse is almost invisible before your thoughts. It's there, but you can't quite get it. It's not like when you're hot, right? As a writer, sometimes you're hot, and you got that passion, and you write, like, boom, the muse just speaks to you, she's singing in your ear, sweet honey, and you just write, But, like, this is talking about like, where you struggle, when you're struggling to, what is that thing I'm feeling right now? That elusive thing, and man, he fucking did it. He wrote that feeling out in this, and it just, bam, dude, he nailed it. He nailed that feeling you get in that. That when it's right there on the edge of your thoughts, where it's intangible, it's unreal, it's not real yet. It's real, but it's not real. It's invisible, it's visible. It's a fog, it's a mist, it's a smoke, but it's there, right? But you can't grasp it. That moment, he fleshed it out for us all, and we all feel this. We've all felt this at least once. If not, you're not a writer. Oh, sorry, I'm getting ballsy there saying that. But if you've not felt this, you know, if you've not struggled to articulate the thing you're feeling, I don't know, man. Maybe you're not feeling things right. Rack, you killed it. I love this piece. This needs a re-front page. If it was never front page, it should be front page, but we need to re-front page it. We all can relate to this because this is just, and it's brilliant. And, you know, I love this piece. And, you know, I'm glad I didn't write a new piece to this idea because, you know, I spoke to you earlier and I was like, think about writing about my favorite thing to do is write. And I'm glad I didn't because I would be just destroyed by your piece here. This is masterful, man. Masterful. To catch that feeling, that uncertainty in the moment, it's such a minute, like, specified feeling right there, you know, and that's what I love about writing and the art of it, that you catch these things, or, you know, you know, all writers, you know, catch these weird moments, or this, or there's a line, or a verse, or something that speaks to us all, and something that could be so special and unique in everything that everybody does, you know, and there's a beauty in that it's not all been done yet. This medium of writing, it's not all been done. It's not all been done. There's, you know, tomorrow and the next day, there'll be somebody that will write something that will never have been written. The whole idea of it will never have been done. And that is, you caught the early storm of that, to go back to, like, Sweet Pea's idea of, like, the peace before the storm. You've caught that idea. That writer that's struggling, that feels something unique. How do I put that down on paper? You know, and you did it. Like, you expressed that idea right here, that uncertainty and struggling and battling with that. To get it out, what is it? Define it. Man, I can't. I think this has got to be my favorite thing by you. Probably one of my favorites. Probably one of them.
Thanks, Adam.
Man.
All right. I think we got Titus up next, and
sure.
I know he didn't call, so he's probably got a SoundCloud.
Absolutely, and he is on the chat wall as well. Hi, Titus. So I will push play for you so we can hear Titus read with his amazing accent. And here we go.
O masterful magician, dignitary mentor, a dedication for André Benhiel, my dreams do mention. Apollo, O masterful magician, it's my delight in knowing you. Never too late to reach so great a compliment, I refer to defender of the oracle, God of light, attain thee all this truth. Recite your harps convey this intermediary role you soothe, ephemeral as the gifts of prophecy prolongs you an esquire. Beyond reach of the stars, supinely do I lay, I fetch you sire. Eloquent gaze, so bright, so pure, 'twouldn't comprise a display, naively, my guide André, with sonorous sound so heavenly. Yet diminish free from which this epoch showed so cleverly, endeared me to create focus on Artemis, as she will focus on healing and prophecy, accompany your muse as Cythera upon unduly lay, that I may ask Cleo to cross your hand and play. A god of many things, poetry, the knowledge of art will cling nothing, and I mean nothing can replace, I besiege no rivalry. Julie, center of the earth, Delphi, with the Titan Leto quietly ruminating an important remedy, each is privately speaking, each to their own, as they say, a friendly exchange is rivalry, blatantly obscure since the Greek legends have left for us eons, they are sifted to placate last the redeeming lost services, numerate their each instruction that is through their mercies. Yearnings are as the Apollon musquets do necessitate thus, emancipating both desire, but our thoughts do freely acquire hedonism, for it arbitrates through listening, learning to aspire. Unilaterally your fragrance lives wise on words without a fuss.
Wow. Does he mention in his author's notes why he picked it as a favorite? Or, I mean, I think he's talking about poetry. I thought this was genius. But, you know, almost everything of Titus is, I think that's the general consensus.
right.
Yeah, this is amazing, Titus. I mean, you've got gods, Apollo, and history, and the idea of writing in this, in a way that just, it brings out a curiosity, I think, that's usually expressed in what we write, that there's that you know, the quest for learning and for understanding that's kind of encompassed in one of the most of the occasionally one more, yeah, I'm flip-flopping now. I'm trying to find the right words, you know, it's a topic that I think we all write about, or at least admire. I really enjoyed it, Titus. Thank you for bringing this to light. Can I get a comment from CP?
Yes. I really like this ode to his mentor. I like anybody that has the heart and the, I'm trying to think of the right word, the, I guess is humble enough to really say thank you. I love each to their own, as they say, friendly exchange is chivalry. ruminating an important remedy, each is privately speaking. I beseech no rivalry. Emancipating both desire, but our thoughts do freely acquire. I think this is just, you know, the ability to say, you know, thank you, everything you've taught me, in our own, and I have my own, and you have your own, and I couldn't have done it without you, and you couldn't have, you know, but I think the giving of knowledge, and I can give my knowledge, and you gave your knowledge, and as it goes from person to person to person, I think it is, you know, something that is beautiful, and I think that's what he's layering in here.
Yeah.
You know, nothing, I mean, nothing can replace that besiege and the rivalry. Again, Titus, I have to go back and look at all the gods and all the people that you're mentioning in here so I know where I'm at in all of this. But I hope I'm getting the right message. But I will go back and know who I'm doing. But, I really think this is Defender of the Oracle, God of Light, attain all, be all truth, recite your heart's prevail. The gifts of prophecy belong to you, Esquire. So I think it's important that we go back and we thank who we know for our knowledge, that we take the knowledge that we have and we give it freely. And that's what we should always be doing is creating and being enthusiastic about what we create and make sure that what we have, we also give to learn and to be teachers. So I think that's pretty spectacular.
Thank you, sweet. And Adam, can you make a quick comment, please?
Quick, you jerk. Yes, I feel exactly, I want to just double stamp upon what Sweet said. Yes, this is an amazing tribute to his teacher, his master, the one that showed him the way. And it's such an elegant tribute. You can feel his passion in this. You can feel Titus's heart in this. You can feel that he is thanking the master. And it's not even like, that you showed me the path. You laid down the groundwork that teach me the way, and thank you so much for being there to guide me in this endeavor to this craft. To thank your the one that inspired you, taught you, your mentor, so giving. It's beautifully done. It's well done. The idea of Apollo, and there's an interesting thing here with it. He does with the idea of Apollo. He mentions Apollo as Apollo, but also Apollo under another name. And it creates the idea that there is the spectacle of one which is known by the mass, and there's the endearment of a personality, a personalness, a personal space, which also he knew him, which is more endeared or enriched and helped him sculpt who he would become. Right, because there is a persona. Sometimes these, anyways. Yes, quick comment.
Yes. Thank you. Yes, and that has nothing to do with you. It has more be trying to be time management. So it was a gentle nudge in that direction.
I understand. I'm fucking drunk.
Yes. that's readily apparent. Deb, can you comment, please?
Yeah, I like how the mythology it's like a tribute to it, and we have wording like a god of many things, poetry, the knowledge of art will cling, nothing, and I mean nothing can replace, and like I say here, just at that part alone, because like for me there's nothing like being able to sit down and put myself out there in the words. And some of the people that are listed here have paved the way for poetry, have paved the way for love, have paved the way for romance. So it was like this myriad of nods to fantastic gods from the past. that left the impression that helped us. And you take the information and you take the music that he chooses in the background and you take his voice and his pronunciation, and it never fails that when you're done, you don't feel worthy of giving a comment, because it's like, who can write like this? Not me. It's always... I was going to say classic, but it's not even that. It's classy. He's in a class by himself, and it shows every time he reads one of his poems for us.
Yeah, I think, you know, part of what he did too, you know, in mentioning his mentor, and a guy being known by another name, that's sort of a nod to infusing a part of what he learned from the other guy, his mentor. It's again, the way that he thinks, you know, is unique to him, but, you know, at the same time, it's there, I think, if we look, and it's not always discernible. But I really enjoy your writing, Titus. Thank you for sharing that tonight. What do we got next?
You have three left now, and it's Kay, Randa, and Crystal, all three of which need readers.
May I coach?
May you coach? Who would you like to read? Three women.
Well, there's three of us left on the line.
Maybe let her choose first.
Who? I'm sorry, who'd you say, Deb?
I was just saying, I don't know how much longer Sweet has, and I thought she might want to choose first since you're making us read.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Sweet. Take your pick of the three that's left. You got Kay, Randa, and who was the third?
Crystal.
Crystal Hope.
Sweet peas muted. Unmute yourself, baby girl.
Sweet, you're being a mutie patootie.
I will take Rhonda. Randa.
Awesome. So.
She's sitting there looking at the word counts, going, which one's the shortest? I've got to get out of here.
No.
It was a joke, Sweet.
I would take all three if you needed me to, so. All right, so this is Unbroken Solitude by Randa Rosary. God, I know I butchered her name, so if anybody wants to give it a try.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Her last name.
Last name.
Oh, Randa Yousry?
Okay, I was close.
I know to get it right. Randa, yeah. Last name Yosry. Yosry. Jossry?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm sorry if I butchered your name. Unbroken Solitude. When winter pours ice into the sun's palm, into the sky's palms, and then sprinkles it over the shivering world, as a rejected bench in a tonight will be another lonely night. When the forest crawls under her icy sheets and the pompous wind suits his loud guns, as a floating leaf in the middle of nowhere, tonight will be another lonely night. When the frost roof leaves pale skin and the flowers left to die on the slope, as an outcast lake forced to abide in exile, tonight will be another lonely night. When the trees stand out extremely gaunt, and the birds thrown in the hungry wild, as the widow river with uneasy thought currents, tonight will be another lonely night. When the sun snuggles up and stays indoors, and the animals fall into a troubled sleep, as an old maid with only a cat for company, tonight will be another lonely night. And cold.
Wow. To take the feeling of season and converting it into that emotion of loneliness is very relatable. Winter can have that feeling, and then she even brings in the old maid. And there's something about the loneliness and the solitude it's a very emotional piece, and I could see it easily being quite a few people's favorites, not just one for tonight. I don't know why I wanted to go back to the theme on that, because this is kind of sad, and, you know, you don't want someone's favorite thing to be solitude. But I don't know. I guess if you read me, you'd think that was my favorite thing. Anyway, I really enjoyed this piece, Rand. It's a lot of beauty in this, and a lot of heartfelt emotion. And it's, like I like to tend to say, it's unfortunately relatable. I could definitely see where you're coming from with the winter and the solitude and whatnot. It's really beautifully put. And my comment just butchered your words. So I'm going to move on and ask Deb to say something nice. Deb, please.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, for starters, beautiful read, sweet. I hope she gets to hear you read it.
Thank you.
And I like the title there, Unbroken Solitude, because sometimes all you need is a little bit of solitude. And in this case, she's looking out the window, and it's winter, and I love the opening there, when winter pours ice into the sky palms and then sprinkles it over the shivering world. And I mean, even though it's cold, it's always so beautiful. So there's this secluded spot. And, okay, yeah, tonight it'll be another lonely night, but look at that view. Sometimes you just need that quiet tranquility. And I think she described it really well, like when trees stand out extremely gaunt and the birds throw in hungry wind, and then in wild. And it's just like you think about the birds and wonder where they might get their food from. So for me, it went back and forth with the emotion. As a widow river with uneasy thought currents, I like how she played the emotions with or in contrast to weather. I just thought she set the scene and the emotion. And I think it might have been the power of her pen that she was sharing with us here. This is a poem that looks like she wrote she wrote it for you.
There you go.
But she wrote it on the 28th, and she's got over 1,000 views on it already and umpteen comments and a ton of likes, because it came out so gorgeous. So, like, great share, great read. End of comment.
Thanks, Deb. Adam, can you comment, please?
I heard this just recently. Came across this, and I feel fortunate to revisit it. It was, I see something here, you know, in her notes. It was for a contest, Unanswered Musical Questions, and a song she chose was Are You Lonesome Tonight? And, but apart from that, just to go with it, my new comment, I feel like, man, how do we not relate to this idea, this absolute isolation of self from environment pushes everything away. But apart from that, like I think your common person must have felt this. Maybe I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know how your everyday people operate. But I felt this. Let me just read. There's a relatability she brings you into with this piece, that you feel like you're there with her. So maybe we're not alone in this solitude. You know, maybe we're, you know, and that we're apart, so far from each other. But you just writing this have brought me into your world. You brought me into your sphere. You brought me into your reality. So we're not so far away. Though I feel what you feel, and you've expressed it here. But we're together because we feel this We've all felt this. You know, we feel this. So we're not alone. But the rival, it expresses that idea, you know, using the winter so deftly. She does, her pen. She has a great pen that writes beautiful words and creates. She has so many unique imagery all the time. Randa, she's an amazing writer, and the way she can bend nature to mean what she wants it to mean for her purposes, and it was done well in this. I love the refrain, tonight will be another lonely night. Tonight will be another lonely, you know, that has a power in it. You know, when you use a refrain, you want it to matter, have a point, and she did it well in this.
Thanks, Adam. And sweet, that was a beautiful read. Can you comment, please?
Oh, yeah, I love her imagery and her point of making, you know, everyone understand that it is a lonely night. It's cold and it's, you know, there's a sense of that isolation, that coolness, that, you know, in the metaphorical meaning of, you know, ice and cold and all of that. I think there was two sides of that, you know, that it can be, you can be really frozen out, even if there's a lot of things around you. I thought there was kind of a deeper meaning to that, that there sometimes people can be cold to you and you feel outside and alone.
Beautiful observation. Absolutely. Loneliness can be described as that cold feeling or, frozen, being frozen out. Come on, sweet.
I think that's what the dog said in the background. I'm getting lonely. I want my mom back. Yep,
I'm way past his bedtime.
Amadeus, Amadeus.
I'm trying to angel with me.
All right, Deb, do you have a preference as to one Adam reads?
The next one's Kay. I'll be happy to do that one.
Awesome.
All right. It's called Blushing Bronze to Ash Garnet's Golden Evergreen by Kay. And here we go. Cardinal woods of leaf deposits and timber roots not know the feeling of season. Old farmhouses of log to red painted planks. Home. Wildflowers in hibernation white, simple like nature. Miles of ducks, chickens walking freely, freshly mowed grass. Ashy to hickory smoke notions tickle senses in whispers echoing peace. End poem.
Wow, it sounds to me like she's writing about a painting, probably one of her featured artists on the channel Poetic Slice. Regardless, she's got beautiful imagery that she's, again, I want to say tying to emotion. She always does that, I think, when she gives us her metaphors. Even if you don't always get them, there's still that underlying feeling that's evident, I think, that you don't have to always, you know, understand entirely what she's talking about. But this was still, it was very gorgeous. It was gorgeous. I'm sorry, Kay. I know we normally read you, like, right from the get-go, but you aren't here, damn it. Anyway, I really liked it, though. I thought it was beautiful. Say hi to Steven, I'm sorry, it's Steven 76. Adam, can you comment for Kay?
Yeah, you know, I always love Kay's work. It has a delicate nature always within it. Often speaks of, you know, she's a great nature writer even. And that whole idea that, two ideas separate by the same use of the word nature. But her nature is delicate and she writes of nature so well. But this piece gives me, to go to my comment for it, I get the idea that you can only see this through the lens of that person who's seeing it, and it's unique to that person, and apart from anyone else that can witness this, it's a private thing. And it's beautiful because it's uniquely a part. It's one of a kind because this person who's witnessing it is witnessing it. And that's the idea I gather in emotion from this piece, that it's their own private wonderland, I guess. That's a grandiose idea. I think that's a big idea, but, like, to take that down, whittle it away to make it, like, you know, when you're walking through a woods or whatever and you see a thing, you are seeing that right now, right? That's you alone, apart from the other 7 billion people. You are seeing that, and it's special. And that's what I get from this, that idea that I alone am witnessing this thing, and it's magnificent. It's godlike.
Thank you, Adam.
Okay.
Deb, can you comment, okay?
Absolutely, yeah. Well, for starters, you had said it seemed to you as if it was being, it was explaining a painting, and what's so profound to me is that it ends with the words, echoing peace. In the picture, there's a little girl sitting on a log with a bunch of cats, and they're all snuggling, and there's some birds flying through the air, and it's quiet, and you could smell the trees and the freshly mowed grass, and in that tranquil little place, it's echoing peace, and it's just like a beautiful brevity. It is also a front page pick, so great job, and my honor to read.
Awesome. Thanks, Deb. And Sweet, can you comment for Kay?
Oh, I love this. It's one of my favorites of hers. I actually have it on
and?
A few of other, yeah, that's the word I'm looking for. She's, I love fall like she does, so it's a great piece. Love seeing it again.
Thanks, Sweet. And for the
You're
last
welcome.
Poem of the evening, before we read it, I just want to, you know, say real quick thank you to everyone that called. I think we're already in overtime, so I guess this isn't going to be on the air, but maybe it will. I don't know. Some of these things just elude me, which is sad to say because I was a nerd for most of my life, and I should know these things. But anyway, I'd like to thank everybody that called, everybody that hung out, everybody that contributed in one way or another and wrote to the show, and the A.P. Taylor Foundation for making it possible. You know, we do these things, and we get to make ourselves feel special for a little while and ramble on and act like I know a little more than I do. So it's always a lot of fun, and thank you, Deb, for making it possible and helping me sort through what's happening that I can't see.
My pleasure, Rick.
So we got one last poem?
We do. We have one by Crystal, and I also wanted to say real quick that we are off tomorrow, but over at Poetic Slice of Life at 7:30, they have a show on the 1979 version of the movie Jack Frost, so check that out. And then maybe Sweet wants to tell us what's happening Thursday.
Thursday is the power of two, opposites attract kind of thing. Everything has a yin and yang.
Well, that was concise. You're beautiful. All right, Adam,
you
got Crystal.
We got Crystal. Crystal Hope, Ode to Purple. Grapes on a vine, lilacs in a field. Purple is so divine. Purple is so real. Violet in her eyes, lavender in a candle. Purple is a sweet surprise. It's hard to mishandle. Sea urchins in the sea, seashells on the shore. Purple is the color of royalty. Purple is so much more. Purple is in the pen that writes words so bright. Purple are the wings of a butterfly, spreading its wings so high. Purple in the dress she wears. Purple is the color that cares. Purple is loyalty. Purple is what describes me. Oh, I love this. And peace, by the way.
Oh, that was great. She makes herself sound cold when she describes herself as purple. There was a song a long time ago, or I think it was a long time ago, red was the color that she wore, even though she says it's purple. I love the way that, you put this together, and I thought it was brilliant that you mentioned the pen, because that makes me think of the idea of purple prose, which is not a flattering thing to say about writing, but in the context of this piece, I thought it fit. I really liked the whole thing in general, and espousing the wonderful traits of purple. The only thing, the generation I grew up, well, I shouldn't say the generation, but, you know, everyone tends to associate purple with Prince, I think, also. Purple Rain and his Purple Majesty, I think he was called at one point, too. So you brought all those things to this piece, in addition to, you know, why you like purple. So I thought it was lovely. And you brought some beautiful thoughts to mind as well. Thank you for sharing it, Crystal, tonight. And, Adam, you read it. What'd you think?
I thought she did a great job of taking her favorite color of hers and exploring upon all the ways it tickles her, and it's common, and, you know, using phrases and ideas that we all relate to and understand and know. I, too, love that, you know, she brought in the whole concept of purple prose, but like the way she did it, she claimed it, she owned it, like it is not a bad thing, though it does have that negative connotation. I think it's all taste, right? Ultimately, it's taste. You know, mm-hmm. Some people dig and love deep and fat, purple prose. Bury me in your words of description. Yes. Some people love that. Some readers love it. They want that to happen. Some, you know, don't. Some writers want a concise, tell me it was this, and that's all I need to know. But, like, you know, I mean, I think a lot of readers that read, sometimes we love to be buried in the pontification of words and, you know, these ideas. We love it because, you know, it takes you in another world. And, you know, purple is another world. You know, wonderful. You know, I love this. I love it. Okay.
Thank you, Adam.
What about the purple girl? You know, her tints.
Oh, no, there's an adder.
The return of adder.
hey, I'd finished.
Did you hear
girl.
Crystal's poem?
I did. Very colorful.
Very purple.
Very purple.
And the first line was tasty.
Yeah, it was nice.
Deb, can you comment for Crystal?
Yeah, you know, I like how she not only listed all the things that came to her mind that she loves that are purple, but as she did it, she gave us sights and sounds and even scents in, like, the candle, and to bring it all the way down, she brought the fact that loyalty is and royalty are both purple. But I think my favorite part of it is that she ended it by saying purple is what describes me, because, like, it's my favorite color too, and that's my little sister. So we are purple sisters. So I thought it was very cool. And just on a side note, it's a multiple award winner. Just saying.
I think it's got a smell. Doesn't purple have a smell?
Yeah, lavender.
Purple has
its smell. And she covered it all. Very cool.
And CP, you get the last pick of the night.
So many awesome poems. Great, great, great choice.
Sweet, you get the last word of the night. Well, actually, the Blog Talk lady does, doesn't she? Thank you for using Blog Talk lady. Mutie Patootie, are you there?
Thank you
for
using Blog Talk lady. Goodbye.
Ah, you know what?
She said it was past Amadeus's bedtime, and when the hero dogs bark, it's time to go, and she went to put the dogs to bed.
Okay.
Aww.
All right, then. So that brings us to the close of another show. Thank you, Deb.
Purple dog.
Thank you, AP,
thank you,
and thank you, Amadeus.
Rock me,
Amadeus. Amadeus.
Is that your favorite song?
I don't know about all that, but I think that I thought we had it in the. We do. What a way to go out! Are you all done?
That's right.
Let's have a big nod to Amadeus.
Yeah.
My favorite
Amadeus.
Everything I grew up with is now played in the
orchestra. What the heck is going on?
Rock me, I'm a dentist,
There's our nod to the hero dog. Fabulous show, Rocking Tour. Thank you. Night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Can't fool me.
There he goes.